Welcome back to Second City Sports, ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. Hour 2, Lakina, Kevin, and Romy. This next guest needs no introduction. You've heard him on this station multiple times on multiple platforms. You can listen to him on 670 The Score. You can also read his stuff on the Daily Herald. He also does play-by-play for ESPN. And you, I see, in Loyola Hoops. He is Jordan Bernfield. How are you, Jordan?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Are you, can you hear us okay?
Yeah, it sounds good. Sounds good.
Okay.
Right, let's do it then.
Okay. Okay, we just want to make sure you have all the technical stuff. But let's get right to it now. John Lackey had an interesting Lackeyism after yesterday's thrilling game against the Marlins. Hey, I'm not here for a haircut. I'm here for the jewelry. Now that the Cubs, you know, have made some moves, or they got Chapman, they got Joe Smith, can you say that they're good? They're at least one of the favorites to reach the World Series now?
Well, I mean, there's no question. They were a favorite to be in the World Series, I think, from day one. And I think that certainly the moves that they made have helped them solidify some things that were an issue before. You know, when you look at their starting rotation, it's been the best in baseball for most of the year with a couple of weeks of hiccup in July. And then when you look at the way that this team from a bullpen perspective has changed, I mean, it's pretty vast different. So I think you have to give Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer a lot of credit for the way that this team has changed. You know, the bullpen was kind of the one area of weakness, and now you've added the best reliever in the game. You've been able to shorten the game by having Rondon and Chapman at the end of the game. And then, you know, that really has had a trickle-down effect. I mean, you mentioned Joe Smith and Mike Montgomery, but the truth is, you know, those guys are not going to pitch in as high of leverage situations as they would have without a guy like Chapman. I think that the addition of Chapman, despite the fact that it is certainly a controversial move, it really changes the complexion of this team, and I think it makes them really strong in every area.
Hi, Jordan. It's Romy. So speaking about Chapman, what do you think, if the Cubs do not make it to the World Series, and I know Chapman's contract before he becomes a free agent is only to the end of the season, do you think if they don't make it, he's going to leave, or you think he's going to stay with the Cubs?
You know, it's hard to say right now, Romy, because I think that with the fact that Chapman has never pitched here except for the last week or two, I think he's got to be comfortable here. And there have been some rumors that he'd like to return to the Yankees at the end of the season. That might be because he was feeling comfortable with the way things were this year in New York. But, you know, I think that if Chapman finds that he really likes it here, then he might want to give it another spin. But I think ultimately it's going to come down to how much the Cubs are willing to pay versus another team. You know, Chapman is a guy who's going to command a lot of money in free agents, and the Cubs are going to have to decide whether they're going to want to pay top dollar to keep him. Not that he isn't worth it, because I believe that he is, but the Cubs are also going to have a decision to make with Dexter Fowler, who's been immensely valuable to this team this year. And so I think that there are a few different decisions that are going to make that decision a little more clear for the Cubs, but I don't know that it necessarily hinges on whether the Cubs win the World Series.
So let's switch to the South Side before we go to football. We see the White Sox slid right past the trade deadline once again. What, if any, direction does anybody see them going in? We know they're done for the season as far as playoff contention. But as far as, you know, for the future, what do you see the White Sox being able to do next season?
You know, I think that right now it's hard to say what the White Sox are going to do direction-wise. I think we need to see how the offseason plays out. You know, I think, really, I think that the trade, Chris Sale trade, Jose Quintana feeling came more from the fact that fans are sort of just fed up with the status quo than it really was a good idea for the White Sox. The fact is, if the White Sox are going to trade those two pitchers, it's going to immeasurably change their franchise. And you don't know yet if it would be better or worse. Now, you look at some of the deals that were made. You look at the way that the Yankees improved their farm system. You know, I think that it certainly gives a lot of fans a reason, and I'm not saying an illegitimate one, but a reason to believe that, you know, they could have changed their farm system completely. But if you believe that you need to trade Quintana and Sale to change the franchise, you also have to know that you're definitely getting high-impact talent in those trades. If they don't, and if they weren't to really hit, I think the franchise would be in miserable problems for the next few years, because you know, Sale and Quintana are two of the best pitchers in baseball, not just the White Sox. And I think that if you trade them both, you're going to be a lot worse in the short term, but you better end up in a good spot in the long term. So the fact that they didn't rush to trade them, to me, is okay. I think in the offseason, they're going to really take a hard look at it. And I think that once all these other major league teams have a chance to kind of look at, you know, what they're willing to part with, not during a season when they need certain players, but they, in a way where they can prepare for the following year, the White Sox might even get more out of it than they would have right now.
Talking to 670, the Scores, Jordan Burfield. Let's go to the gridiron and talk some football. The Bears, now, as we said multiple times, John Fox does well in the second year with all the moves they made with Trevathan and Leonard Floyd. We'll see if he can stay healthy, and we'll see if Alshon Jeffrey can stay healthy. What are your expectations for the Bears this season, Jordan?
My expectations are that they're probably still a 6-10, 7-9 football team. Maybe they win 8 games this year, but I just don't see much more of an improvement than that. You know, I still think that even though they made a couple of moves that were good, and I think that certainly could help them for the future, they also lost a significant amount on the offensive side of the football. I mean, Matt Forte and Martellus Bennett being gone, those are two losses that are not easy to replace, certainly in 1 year. And they have an offensive line that I think has a lot of question marks, and there's been a lot of turnover on that line. So I think it's hard to say what you're going to get from that unit. And Alshon Jeffrey, you know, is a guy that, you know, you don't really know what his health's going to be day to day. I mean, he's been dealing with the muscle tightness. I believe they're saying a hamstring right now in training camp, and that might not end up being a big deal. But given what happened last year, you know, you need him to be healthy, and I don't think that you can be fully confident that he will be. So I think that with all those things, you know, there's a lot of questions on this offense. Defensively, I think that they're better, but they didn't add, like, high-impact defensive players. But certainly Trevathan and Freeman, I think, figure to be upgrades at the linebacker position. So my guess is it's going to be another rebuilding year, another year where there's disappointment. But I think certainly they will take some steps forward in certain ways, and it'll at least be interesting to watch.
Jordan, this is Kevin. So we see that the pool of decent backup quarterbacks is drying up. We see Nick Foles just went to the Chiefs, and Dallas's Kellen Moore just broke his fibula. So Dallas is looking at, you know, players like T.J. Yates, Josh McCown, Jimmy Clausen. Who do you see Dallas bringing in to help Tony Romo?
Boy, I mean, that's a tough question. I'm not sure what Dallas is thinking there, but I would say that, you know, with the crop of quarterbacks drying up, you wonder if Jerry Jones, who is not averse to making sort of the out-of-the-box move, whether he would try to sign a guy like Michael Vick. You know, Michael Vick is trying to get back into the NFL. He wants to play one more year. I know that he is very motivated to be a backup quarterback, which he hasn't been in the past. I think he just wants an opportunity. And, you know, it would be a different look, certainly, for the Cowboys than Romo would be, because I think there's a lot more of a mobile element to Vic's game. So that's a guy that I think could be available. But like you said, there's a lot of these names are coming off the board. So I think that if the Cowboys don't act quickly, they're probably not going to have the guy they want.
Hi, Jordan. It's Romy. So how do you feel that the fact that the Chargers have not signed Bosa yet for the season, are they waiting too long? Because now they're in training, we're getting close to preseason. What did you think the Chargers need to do in order to start kickstarting their season with him?
Well, they need to sign him.
True.
So,
very true.
You know, if they can get him signed. Yeah, I mean, if they get him signed, then I think that certainly once he's in training camp, you know, he can start to learn. But, you know, I think, Romy, that when a rookie player, even one who is as accomplished as Joey Bosa, who was an outstanding player at Ohio State, mm-hmm. When they don't get into training camp and they're not acclimating themselves to the team and they're not learning the system on the field and getting all those reps, it's never a good thing. So, you know, I think that Bosa and the Chargers need to come to agreement, and if they do, that will certainly benefit them more early on in his tenure. But, you know, you don't want to be waiting a lot longer, because I just think that they're in a situation right now where, you know, the Chargers don't figure to be real good anyway, so you want to get a high-impact player back in the field.
Now, Jordan, we know you're busy, so we'll get you out of here on this. Now with college football starting up, you've got Lovie Smith, you know, Illinois bringing some class and also respectability, and also you got Northwestern hoping to improve, actually be right there for it. Where do you see them this season?
Well, I mean, I think that Northwestern had an incredible year last year, Lakina, and I think that when you think about the fact that they went 10-3, you know, obviously the bowl game loss to Tennessee was a tough pill to swallow for a lot of people at Evanston, but you did that with a redshirt freshman quarterback, Clay Thorson, and I would think going into another year with him, he's going to be a little bit better. He'll take a step forward, you know, with Mick McCall and Pat Fitzgerald getting a chance to work with Thorson through another offseason. You hope that he's able to develop a little more and take another step. I think Anthony Walker Jr. is an outstanding defensive player at the linebacker position who is now going to be a junior, so you wonder how much more of an impact he can make, and I think that his potential is great. So I think Northwestern is going to certainly be a bowl team, and they could be very good in the Big Ten West. As far as Illinois is concerned, you know, that was a 5-7 football team last year. I'm really intrigued by Lovie Smith as their head coach, and I really liked the move when they signed him. But I think that he's coming into a team that, even though they won 5 games last year, doesn't have a whole lot of talent. So it's really going to be a testament to Lovie to see how many games they win, because that'll show kind of the level of coaching job that he's been able to do. So, you know, I think that I think that a bowl game would be a great first step for Lovie Smith, because that would really show that he could turn this program in the right direction. But then ultimately it's going to come down to whether Lovie can recruit those top-tier talents. I would think that he can, and I think that he's certainly respected in football. So I think that this year could be a potential bowl team. They may take a step back the following year, but I think that Lovie's going to be able to make them a perennial bowl team, which at Illinois I think would be a great thing.
Yeah, desperately needed. So you can listen to him on 670 The Score. He has new play-by-play on ESPN, also do Loyola and UIC Hoops, and also he writes some great stuff on the Daily Herald. His latest one actually came out over the weekend about Chapman, and it's really the Cubs. They got to deliver on the World Series. So Jordan, at Jordan Burnfield on Twitter. Jordan, thank you so much. Again, we'll get you on. There's a reason why you're a station favorite. Some great stuff as always.
Well, thank you guys for having me. It's my pleasure. I'll talk to you soon.
Excellent.
Thank you.
You too. So, yeah, that's Jordan Burnfield.